The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. Tuesday, March 12, 2024. I am Seth Leibson. Mr. Bill, good to see you. Thanks for sitting in for young David yesterday. Young David, good to see you back in your chair and office. Miss Terry, the rest of you, 602-508-0960. Defense mechanisms, most psychologists and psychiatrists will tell you, like projection, are deployed to insulate the patient from facing or confronting their own deficits and their unhealthy drives and impulses. With that in mind, we turn to today's text. The piece, headlined, Democrats Need to Stop Playing Nice. The author, Joe Klein, in the New York Times. Democrats need to stop playing nice. Mr. Klein, a Time magazine reporter once upon a time, made himself a millionaire with a book and movie you may recall, a slightly fictionalized story about the 1992 Bill Clinton campaign titled Primary Colors. For reasons unclear, he originally published it under the pseudonym Anonymous. This is what he writes this morning. Quote, why are Democrats so congenitally weak? Why did it take a group of former Republicans, the Lincoln Project, to create the nastiest, most effective anti-Trump ads in 2020? There are several reasons which are near impossible for Democrats to admit in public. The first is that they have a reputation as the favored party of the American Bar Association. They're rife with lawyers. They see poetry in a well-turned codicil. They are also the party of the so-called helping professions, teachers, social workers, speech therapists, home health aides, ivy-clotted academicians. In general, these are not people comfortable throwing a fierce left hook, and they are the party of identity politics, always sensitive to insensitivity, often to a fault. They care a lot more about appearance and propriety than Republicans do, close quote. Joe Klein starts his piece with two quotes from the Florida 2000 recount battle, one from Al Gore's attorney, Warren Christopher, being courtly and decent, the other from George Bush's attorney, James Baker, going for legal jugulars. You take the point. Democrats play by Marquis of Queensbury rules. Republicans play UFC. It's a bit of revisionism for Mr. Klein to use the vignettes he does use, commencing with the 2000 ballot fight from Florida. First, Warren Christopher was not the lead attorney for Al Gore. David Boies was. And there are few tougher haymaker-tossing attorneys in America than David Boies. For those that remember Al Gore's team playing the game of gentlemen in 2000, I just remind that the running mate, Joe Lieberman, publicly excoriated his own campaign and party when they made the effort to stop counting overseas military ballots. It was that leaving of the reservation by a true gentleman in Joe Lieberman that explained why Al Gore never spoke with his running mate again and endorsed a different candidate in the Democratic Party 4 years later over and against Joe Lieberman, his previous running mate. And of course, it was the same Al Gore who insisted on being introduced for years after the Bush v. Gore battle at public and private speeches as, quote, the popularly elected president of the United States, close quote. It's probably the first instance, though inchoate, of election denial. It was the same nice Al Gore who in 2002 compared George Bush to Leonid Brezhnev in a speech at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco and the United States to the Soviet Union's invasion of Afghanistan. Joe Klein speaks of the decency of John Kerry and his campaign in 2004 as compared to the Bush reelection effort. This would be the same John Kerry who mocked and questioned George Bush's service in the National Guard during Vietnam. Same John Kerry who would lambast Vietnam veterans for acting as if they were Genghis Khan. And this would all come from the same party that 4 years earlier took an awful lynching case in Texas and put the sister of the lynching victim in a political ad against George Bush, saying after Bush's veto of a hate crimes bill, she felt as if George Bush lynched her brother all over again. Nice, kind, decent.
You remember how the Democrats treated George Bush so kindly, don't you? Michael Moore did a mockumentary in 2004, re-election time, trying to prove Bush was responsible for and covered up the 9/11 attacks. It was called Fahrenheit 9/11, and the entire glitterati of the party, from Nancy Pelosi to Tom Daschle, went to the premiere in Washington to give it an extra boost. That mockumentary, by the way, opens up with footage from 2000, where Democrat after Democrat in the House of Representatives said George Bush's election in 2000 was fraudulent and illegitimate. In those days, that was the cool thing to say and strut about, if you were a Democrat. And of course, you recall the avuncular decency of Joe Biden in 2012, don't you? As when he told a black audience that Mitt Romney wanted to put that audience back in chains? Which gets us to the 2016 race, as we skip over, for purposes of time, all the nice and kind treatment Sarah Palin received in 2008, especially from the women's caucuses in politics. So for purposes of saving space, I'll just read this CNN headline, quote, Hillary Clinton personally approved plan to share Trump-Russia allegation with the press in 2016, campaign manager says, close quote. But I will note that the kind and nice Democrats who don't play it tough enough commenced impeachment bills against Donald Trump as early as 2017, his second month of the presidency. That would be the year of his inaugural. That inaugural, you remember, even as famous Democrats from John Lewis to Jerry Nadler to 55 others of the Democratic Party publicly refused to attend to show that they thought Trump was illegitimate. You will recall, too, there were no allegations of anti-Semitism or racism by Democrats against Donald Trump, the father and grandfather of Orthodox Jews. You will recall how Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton did not repeatedly state Donald Trump was an illegitimate president throughout his tenure. Well, of course, your recall must not be as great as Joe Klein's. Joe Klein concludes his piece writing this, quote, wouldn't it be fun if Mr. Biden got tough with Mr. Trump directly, in person, in a debate? It might be educational for the American public to see how the bully responds to a rhetorical punch in the nose rather than to a lawsuit, close quote. To which I say, oh, goody. The Democrats have stopped their violent intonations by adding the word rhetorical as a modifier, as if that hasn't been their coin of the realm since roughly 1964. Anyone remember the column that said the Republican Party convention had Mein Kampf as its Bible, written by the most famous liberal columnist of the age? And let us not forget Goldwater being unfit mentally to be president. If Mr. Biden got tough with Mr. Trump, indeed, I suppose calling the president a fool and a clown was from the political dictionary of the decent. And I suppose Biden saying the death from COVID on Donald Trump's watch disqualified Trump from re-election, even as the COVID deaths on Joe Biden's watch, with a vaccine in play, no less, were multiple times greater than under Donald Trump. I guess we would cross-reference the hypocritical dictionary of the decency for that, of the decent for that one. I receive emails every day under the signatures of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Nancy Pelosi. Maybe Joe Klein is not on their mailing lists. They call Republicans extremists and threats to democracy. And I recall well Joe Biden's speech in Georgia 2 years ago saying the Republicans were the party of Jim Crow, Bull Connor, and Jefferson Davis. Just as I recall Joe Biden saying, without rhetorical modulation or modifier, he'd like to take Donald Trump to the backside of a gym to punch him in the face and that he'd pummel him in a high school fist fight. If all that is kind, nice, and decent, I worry what Mr. Joe Klein thinks tough would look like. I think what we have to recognize is we are in a time of grave psychological problems in this country. But when it comes to political psychology, Joe Klein may want to take a look at defensive mechanisms and projection disorders. And by taking that look, I don't really mean in a book, the DSM manual, or in a clinic. I mean he should take a look in the mirror. 602-508-0960 is our number. We have a lot to cover today. Feel free to call in on that. We're going to talk about the Robert Hur testimony. We're going to talk about a lot of other goings on. 602-5080-960. Got David Dahl back. We'll have the Hallmans in for our third hour. And until then, baby, it's me and you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studios, which are brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Rick is in Phoenix. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Seth. Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
Thank you for that outstanding and very important monologue.
Thanks.
I pray that it will be disseminated far and wide.
Oh, you're very kind.
It reminded me of a quote from the evil Adolf Hitler henchman, who said, and I paraphrase, if you tell a lie often enough and long enough, people will come to believe it's the truth. And as Dennis Prager often points out, truth is not a leftist value.
Thank you. Yes, I've been fascinated lately by the use and misuse of the English language, the abuse of the English language for political
yes.
purposes. George Orwell wrote the first, most probably important essay on it in 1946, Politics in the English Language. And
yes.
he said political speech now is largely the defense of the indefensible. And I was thinking about that not only in this context, in the propaganda of Joe Klein's column, but I was kind of thinking of it, too, in the context of Joe Biden retracting his use of the word illegal to describe the alleged murderer of Laken Riley. I thought it was interesting when he said within 72 hours of calling her illegal, once the pushback within his caucus came, that he should have said undocumented, that he retracted illegal so that he should have said that the man was undocumented, not illegal. George
yeah.
Orwell writes that political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable. Boy,
right.
isn't that interesting when you think about what's all involved in the homicide and the murder of Laken Riley, making murder sound respectable. That's what changing illegal to undocumented does.
Very sad. It, remind me, Seth, do I remember Saul Alinsky in his Rules for Radicals made the point in several different places about using the use of language to attack and twist and pervert your opponents and their views and denigrate and that sort of thing?
Well, I'm pulling them up, actually. We have a little handy list. There were 13 rules.
Uh-huh.
Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, never go outside the expertise of your people. 3, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. 4, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. 5, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It is almost impossible to counterattack ridicule. Also, it infuriates the opposition.
Bingo.
6, that's it. 6, a good tactic is one your people enjoy. 7, a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. 8, keep the pressure on. 9, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. 10, the major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure. 11, if you push a negative hard and deep enough, it will break through into its counterside. 12, the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. 13, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. If you look at those and
Bingo.
Read those, there is one leitmotif to the whole thing, to the all 13 rules, which is effectively keep the pressure on, never give in, never give up, never stop, never sleep.
Yes.
That's really what they all boil down to.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And the method of operation for keeping that pressure is lying, telling lies and telling them over and over again until maybe you believe them and you hope others will believe them as well.
Well, I mean, listen, how do I say that? I was listening to a thing Dennis Prager said the other day that was just so darn good. It was about It was about debate prep. And he said, I wrote it down, but I don't know if I have it in handy. I'll do it from memory. I think I have it pretty close. He said when he engages in debate prep, he tries to think about whether anyone on the other side, the person he's debating, has a point. If the person on the other side of the debate has something worthwhile to listen to.
Yeah.
And he said, I think about it because it makes me debate better. It makes me think better. He goes, and it's also important to know that they may be right and I may be wrong on a certain given point. He said, because I don't care about the win. I care about the truth. But if you care about the truth, you will win. That's how he put it.
Yes, yes. I remember him saying that.
Oh, here it is. I found it. Even when I debate publicly, I ask myself if my opponent might have a point or might be right. You become a better debater that way, for it means you're committed to truth, not winning. But if you are committed to truth, you will win. There.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Seth.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. You bet. 602-508-0960. Should we put in a word for our Fighting for Freedom event, 960thepatriot.com?
You betcha. Fighting for Freedom is upcoming, and if you haven't got your tickets, what the heck are you doing? Go online right now. Run, don't walk, to 960thepatriot.com and pick up a ticket to our Fighting for Freedom event, March 26th at Arizona Christian University. I'll be there, Seth will be there, Officer Brandon Tatum and Mike Gallagher will also be there, along with Arizona Christian University President Lynn Munsell and AZGOP Chair Gina Swoboda. We're happy to have them all on board for us for our upcoming Fighting for Freedom event.
Nice.
Panel discussion.
Yeah, 960thepatriot.com. And we'll be talking about a lot of these themes in the election. And we do think freedom is on the line, as Mike Gallagher has been saying. This is a weird construction, in a sense, when we get to election years these days, because we're always told that this is the most important election of our lifetime. And every year or every 2 years that we say it, it's actually true. It is true of that year that it is the most important election of our lifetime. For when we lose, we as conservatives, we as Republicans, we as those of the Common Sense Caucus, I guess, if I can create that word, phrase, common sense, every year, every 2 years we lose, we get closer and closer to a precipice. And while America is resilient, freedom is fragile. And resilient does not mean impermeable. It does not mean indestructible. We get closer and closer. And I got to tell you, I just don't know that we can get any more close than we are right now. Seth Leibson, 602-5080-960. Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. John Dombrowski is the president and founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. His website is grandcanyonplanning.com. It's a great website to learn more about Grand Canyon Planning and what they can do for you, or to reach out to John. He brings us our culture and economy update. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Seth?
Good to talk to you, man. I'm doing okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Inflation picks up to 3.2%, slightly hotter than expected. Give us everything we need
very
to know
slightly.
About this.
Very slightly. You know, it's 3.1% is what was expected. But this was the second straight month, it says here, for a, quote, firmer than expected inflation number. And you know, this is all the market is looking at. You know, when's the Fed going to cut rates? You know, the thought was possibly the first quarter, many were touting. Of course, that's not going to happen, didn't happen. And now we are in the second quarter. But there are those out there that still believe it's possible the Fed may cut rates in June. But even if they don't, Seth, at this point, again, the consumer is extremely strong. I think we're getting back to normal as far as the spending habits of the consumer. We are seeing things drop off that maybe we were seeing exaggerated numbers on in the past, some of the travel things and such. But I think the consumer, and I mean, just think of yourself and listeners out there, how they're spending their money. Are you still going out to dinner? Or are you still, you know, doing the things and buying the things that you were buying pre-COVID and pre this jump in inflation. And many people are, even though some are suffering because of the higher costs of everything. But generally, the economy is fairly good.
Well, when we read that consumer prices rose 3+ percent, 3.2% from last year.
Right.
The simple takeaway is that the cost of items is a little bit higher than it was a year ago. Right.
Correct. Right. So, year over year. Right.
So the inflationary tendency, while in the neighborhood of where one would hope it would be, is still headed in the wrong direction, if I'm not mistaken. It's still going up rather than down, no?
Well, inflation's always going to be going. I mean, it's very rare that we're going to see a complete deflationary period of time where, you know, inflation is zero or less. Even during, you know, the prior years here, we were running about that 2% inflation rate.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we saw a tremendous spike from COVID and the supply chain issues that we had. Mm-hmm. But then we started to see inflation come down from its peak. But you're always, you know, the hope is a healthy economy is always going to have some type of inflation. The Fed wants to get it down to 2%. That's what they're targeting.
Yeah.
And they're a little above 1% away from that now.
Yeah. And how does it account? How do you account for the condition of the economy when you also take into account what people use to, you know, cover those costs, like, say, wages, salaries,
right,
those keeping track with
right.
it? That's really the difficulty.
That's the big key,
right?
Do you have wage inflation as well? Or are you keeping up with the cost of inflation? Obviously, during the peaks of inflation, we were not keeping up with it. It was completely upside down when we had inflation at 9%, and we had wages, if anything, in some cases, decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have started to see some type of a normalcy in wage increases. Still, probably many people would say not enough.
Yeah.
But you do have others out there that are touting $20-$25 minimums on fast food restaurants too.
Yeah.
We talked about that in the past.
Oh my gosh,
that's not sustainable either, right?
No.
So
no.
There has to be a happy median there. To be able to have wage inflation as well as a normalized inflationary rate, which somewhere between 2% and 3% is the Fed is targeting.
And most likely it won't change anything they're planning to do with rate cuts later in the year.
That's what this article says, most likely not. You know, I don't think we're going to see 5-6 rate cuts that maybe many had touted earlier in the year. I think people are getting more realistic, but many are believing somewhere in the 2 to 3 or 4 times that we could still see rates cut, depending on how inflation numbers go. But the last two readings were really a little bit more robust than what I think the Fed wanted. But they're stating they're still probably going to be reducing rates. That's not going to change their mind at this point.
Good work, John Dombrowski. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you. Again, go to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. You can schedule an appointment with me right there. Securities and advisory services offered through Creative One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC, and Creative One Securities LLC, and not affiliated. Thank you, Seth.
Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Friends, the folks at Midas Gold Group have told me that the U.S. government and the Fed will have no choice but to eventually steer interest rates lower, because if they don't, the current level of interest rates will bankrupt the nation. There's no telling when the dam will break, but when it does, Midas wants to make sure you have flood insurance, and in this case, that's gold. Call Midas Gold Group now. Look into the opportunities gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call 480-360-3000 or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Midas Gold Group is the nation's number one veteran-owned gold IRA firm. Protect your assets. Call 480-360-3000. That's 480-360-3000. Midas Gold Group, always faithful. MidasGoldGroup.com. The big political story today and the attention today was obviously at the House Judiciary Committee hearings with Special Counsel Robert Hur. He was talking, obviously, about the report he issued previous month having to do with Joe Biden and classified documents. It was explosive at times. I've got a few clips I'll run by you. They're probably clips that will be the most prominent, but maybe not. regardless, the question is, will it matter? Will any of this matter? Or will this just be theater for a day? Well, I am in the camp that it will be theater for a day. It matters in the sense that it had to have happened. I'm glad it happened. It needed to happen. It should happen. Just because it won't have durability doesn't mean there's not a reason to do it. You plant flag after flag after flag, and hopefully at some point people see a row of flags or they see a theme. One of the flags that we keep trying to plant is not really anything in our power so much as it is just turning the microphone on and the lights on with the Democrats, particularly in the House Judiciary Committee, where I happen to think, for the most part, most of them are the worst of the worst. Listen, I don't even think they need to be debated, quite honestly. I just want them to speak and let, you know, old phrase in law, res ipsa loquitur, let the thing speak for itself. By the way, you know, all these challenges for Joe Biden to debate Donald Trump, you know what would make me just as happy if he doesn't debate Donald Trump? Makes me just as happy is to just let him speak freely. Just let Joe Biden speak freely. You know, he was in an event earlier today, and it was a crowded room, and he said out loud, "Are they going to let me take questions?" Who's the they? You think it's the audience? The audience doesn't want to have questions asked of the President of the United States? That's not the they. The they are the Praetorian Guard around the President of the United States who don't want him taking questions, don't want him speaking extemporaneously, don't want the microphone and the lights on, because they know what happens. They know what happens. Because, as Robert Herr put it, the President of the United States is a man of, what was his phrase, diminished faculties and faulty memory. And even when he tries to course correct, he can't help but drive his car into the ditch. Anyway, a couple selected pieces of audio from today's hearing that I thought you might enjoy. It gives you a little bit of the flavor and the sense of it and the outrage of what's going on in Washington, D.C. This is Robert Herr and Jim Jordan.
And did the White House get the report before the report was made public?
We did provide a draft of the report to the White House counsel's office and members of the president's personal counsel team for their review.
No, I understand. And did the White House then, once they got the report before it went public, did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
And did the White House get the report before
they did request changes? He would not give them that opportunity to make those changes. One question that a friend of mine was asking me the other day, was the Trump team given advance notice of their classified intelligence papers special investigation? No, of course not. And what's interesting about that is that Joe Biden was never going to be prosecuted as President of the United States, because we don't criminally prosecute presidents while they are President of the United States. That's been longstanding DOJ policy since the 1970s. But they gave the courtesy of a heads up to the White House, and the White House was, shall we say, bumptious enough to think they could suggest changes. What's the point of a special counsel if the White House gets a say in what the special counsel says and does? What's the point of that? All right, that was Jim Jordan. Here's Pramila Jayapal, the head of the Progressive Caucus.
All charges are warranted in this matter.
Correct.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
is not a word that I'm going to continue with my questions. I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that the term
I ultimately reached
related to
whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that the term willful retention has a Mr. Hurd, it's my time.
You know you're in the midst of a liar when they don't want you to speak. You know you're in the midst of someone who is lying and distorting when they don't want you to respond to what they said. And it's infinitely amusing to me. Infinitely amusing to me that congresspersons, congressmen and congresswomen, have a witness who is there as a witness to be asked questions theoretically because they want to get their answers. But the Congress people take away their ability to give answers by saying it's their time. It's their time. You know what? It's not really their time. It's not their time. How many times have we been reminded that the House of Representatives is known as the People's House? They work for us. It's our time. It's our time. And if she's going to tell Robert Hur that he exonerated Joe Biden and he's going to say, ma'am, no, I didn't. I want to hear that, not her trying to talk over him and shut him up to shut him down. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, portions of which are brought to you by our good friends at YRefi, who have a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. With YRefi, you get a ton of flexibility. You can turn your income on or off. You can compound it, whatever you like. There are absolutely no fees with YRefi. With YRefi, you can have peace of mind. There is no attack on principle. If you ever need your money back, you'll get your monthly statement. No surprises. And you can visit them in person. They are headquartered here. They invite that. They're right on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. You won't get a sales pitch. You won't be asked to sign anything. They leave the selling up to me. If you don't visit them in person, check them out online at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or call 888-YREFI24. It's kind of fun. Today, just a special note. I got a text from an old college buddy who lives in Connecticut, and he was asking me about YRefi. I haven't talked to him in about, I don't know, 8 or 9 months, I suppose. We catch up every once in a while. And he said, is it true that you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return? I said, yeah, but what's making you call out to me? He said, I heard you're doing an ad for them. And I said, I know that guy. He's my colleague out in Connecticut. Okay, good enough. Good enough. Whatever it takes to reconnect old college buddies. The last part of the audio I wanted to play for you to give you a sense of the enormity of what Joe Biden was found to have done is this.
Mr. Hur, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
That's a lot of scattered places. That's 8 scattered places for classified intelligence documents. 8. 8. Not exactly behind lock and key, guarded by Secret Service in a mansion with its own private security in a room dedicated to holding documents. Not exactly the same thing. They were just papered all over the Eastern Seaboard, Mr. Bill. With reckless disregard. Reckless abandon. Okay. And with all that sturm and drang, it probably won't matter. But there is something more I want to say about this when we come back. We'll go to a quick top of the hour news break. I am Seth Leibson. Anything on your mind? 602-5080-960. We'll be right back.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.